Numbers chapter 20, and we'll start reading verse 7. 7 through 12. Numbers 20. Brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation a beast drink. Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote twice. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation unto the land I have given them. Stop there and go forward in prayer. Father, again we come. You, Master, thanking you, God, again for the good day and for the honor and the privilege of standing in this pulpit. God, I pray for Brother Mike, Sister Lisa. God, help them, Caleb. God, as they're on their vacation, God, help them this morning. Just send them and help them, God. I know that they're thinking about the sheep. So, God, help them to be strengthened, and God, just keep them safe. Bring them home back to this church safely. Pray for the congregation this morning that God, the word would not fall upon deaf ears, but as David spoke and said, that we might sink it deep into our heart, that we might not sin against thee. So God, help us to preach with power. You glorify the precious name of Jesus. And then God, when we're all done, let's joyfully say it's been good to be in your house. It's been good to be among your people. Guide us now in what we do and what we say. We'd be careful to praise you and give you thanks for it. Ask in Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen. Be seated unless you want to stand. Everybody's down quick. I'd like to take you back to the first time it's mentioned about the rock. God did speak to smite the rock. And there's some reasons, and I want to, I'm not a three-point preacher, but I do want to bring out some points. But here in Exodus chapter 17, the Bible says that God said, smite the rock. And Moses smote the rock, and the scripture says that it brought forth water for him to drink. There's a reason why when God told Moses now here to speak to the rock, there's a reason. If you'll go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the scripture says that Christ suffered once for your sins. Not again. He's not coming back to die again. He suffered once. That's not the message today, but I would love to, every time I preach that message about the suffering of Christ, how he really suffered, what he really done. But that's not my message today. But he done that one time. And that's why God told Moses here, he said, to speak to the rock. I don't know. I've heard some people say, well, maybe it was because Moses wasn't very grounded or he wasn't very far into the Lord. I hope I can leave this thing. If I don't get that up there, we won't get it. But I have a problem with just standing still. I got to move. What's that? Take it with me.
Whenever God spoke to Moses and he said,
Moses, speak to the rock. I don't know if, and I don't want to get out of key, but there's something about the speaking. I don't know what he said. I don't know what Moses should have said. Maybe it's this. Let me just have my way for a few minutes. I'm not sure. I'm sure this is probably not correct. But Moses knew they was out. This was the seventh time now that the children of Israel had begun to murmur and complain. And Moses maybe should have said this in front of the congregation, in front of his brother Aaron. God, we need water. You ever need something and just say, God, I need some things. Or am I the only one? I don't know what Moses should have said or could have said, but maybe it's that. God, here we are out here in this wilderness, and could you just give us water? But Moses got mad at the people. Now that's possible. I pastored a while, and I've got mad at the people, and then I've got over it. But I think Moses possibly is, maybe he's like me. I've never killed a man, but Moses did one time. He got mad because what they was doing to his people, and Moses killed an Egyptian. So I guess he had a temper, maybe. I've got one of those. I've been working on mine for, well, I know 30 years. That's how long I've been preaching. So I've been working on mine. It flares up still. But Moses gets mad now at the people, and he calls them rebels. Be careful how you speak about God's people. When I was a young preacher, and I was once, and they wanted to hear me preach, the old preachers in a meeting, in an association meeting, and all the old preachers had their amen, had the amen pew, and there's all on the amen, wanted to hear the young preacher preach, and wanted to be able to criticize him or amen him. And I began to talking about the sheep, and I said, they're not your sheep. And I seen the flare come up out of the old preachers, because they'd been sweating and praying and seeking the things of God over their sheep, and they had claimed them as their sheep. And I began to preach against that, and they began to get aggravated at me, the young preacher, out of line, out of text, out of whack. And all of a sudden I said, Jesus Christ died for it, and he suffered on the cross for it. And he bled and gave his life for the sheep. And whosoever will, he said, let him come freely. When I got to preaching that, them old preachers got to shouting me down. Amen, brother. Preach it. Be careful how you speak about God's people. You might be very close to them. Be careful how you speak to God's people, because they're his. They may be your friends. They may be your family. They're still the sheep of God. When I stand in the pulpit, especially this one, I mean, this to me, this is such an honor to speak in the pulpit of Brother Mike Hoggard. I'm honest, I'm saying this honestly. But when I stand in pulpits, you see, I just resigned our church. I've been there 9 years, and it's a mile from my house. We formed it, got to heaven. Bible study in my kitchen, and all of a sudden this happened so fast that next thing I knew we had bought a church that was a mile from my house and fixed it up, and now we're preaching a congregation, and I thought I'd be there the rest of my life. I guess it's too convenient, just a mile from my house. So now we're traveling some, but when I go to different places like this one to preach, I think it's such an honor. But I've looked at y'all, because I know the message I'm going to preach, and I look at y'all, and did you know that you're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ? He suffered for you, and he died for you, and he gave his life for you, and then he presented the blood to God the Father, and God accepted that, and then you're now his. And if there's someone lost here today, you could have him as your Savior. Just come and ask. Call whosoever will. But Moses said, you rebels. Found a scripture here. The scripture says in Galatians 6 and 10. It says, be careful. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those are the household of faith. You ever make a mistake? And I've had to correct a lot of things, a lot of mistakes that I've made, I've had to correct them, because the Holy Spirit of God begins to deal with me, and I've had to go back to people And I've had people come back to me.
Did you know that's the evidence?
You know what the first thing I'm going to... Please don't let me ever get into you. But if I do, you know what the first thing that goes through my heart, mine, is to reconcile with you. A lot of people have so much pride that they'll never, ever darken the door of that person. But the Scriptures teaches that we have the spirit of reconciliation. The Bible says here, be careful. It says to do good to all those, especially those who are the household of faith. Now one preacher said that God wasn't buried ground here. Moses wasn't buried ground here and didn't know God much. If you go back to Exodus 3 when he met God, Moses was afraid of God. And he hid his face from God. And then 30 chapters later now, in Exodus 33, Moses said, God, I want to see your face. And God says, Moses, no man's ever seen my face and lived. But I will put you in the cleft of the rock. Well, I want to be in that cleft of the rock so many times. But he said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll put my hand over it. And as I pass by, you can see my back, the hinder parts. And that was enough for Moses. So don't say that Moses wasn't ground. Moses wanted to see the face of God. But here he gets mad at the people. And then he made the statement. He said, you rebels, he said, must Aaron and I bring you water? Moses could never bring. Hey, you could, no offense, you could never bring water unless it took the touch of God. I could never bring water from a rock unless it took the touch of God. But Moses says, must we bring you water from this rock? You know what he did? Well, the Scripture says here in the 7th verse, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, said, because ye believe me not to sanctify. So I looked that word up. To sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. So I looked the word sanctified up, and it means to manifest His glory through you, or it means to make known. So what God wanted to do was, can I put you in the place of Moses this morning? What God wanted to do with Moses was sanctify, or He wanted to use Moses. When Moses would have said, God, we need water. Lord, look at your people. They're thirsty. God, would you give us some water? But he didn't. He got mad at the people. And he struck it twice. Peter said that Jesus only died once. That rock should have never... When he struck the rock back in Exodus, that's the only time the rock should have ever been struck. Hey, listen, there's some things in your life. You may have done them once. You did not do them twice. God wanted to use Moses. He wanted to sanctify. He wanted to use Moses that he could get the glory. Did you know what God really, really, really wants in your life? He wants to use you, but he wants to be glorified. Did you know everything? All the glory belongs to him. When you give, and I don't mean this a tithing message because it's not, but it just sometimes worked its way into messages. When you give to the Lord, did you know who? And then the church helps people. Does this church ever help people? Amen. I'm watching for years. Matter of fact, you helped us several years ago. There's some new faces that you wasn't here when this church helped us. We had a camper set that reminded me, we drove up, seen this camper. We had one here. My son had a double lung transplant. Brother Mike said, come on over. We'll put you in the parking lot and hip electric and hip water. And he even gave Kathy cable. Yay. And you know who we thanked? I always mention that here. I thank the church for what you have done. But you know who I really thanked for that? God. Now, if you want the glory, go ahead. And you'll get your glory. And I'll even clap my hand for you. And when you get to heaven, there's nothing there. But you just received your reward. And God wants to use you in your life that He can be sanctified. But He wants to use you that He can get sanctified. He can get glory. And Moses didn't give that to Him. You know what happened to Moses and Aaron? Well, they both died. You go back over and read in 24 and verse 28, the Bible says, God said to Moses, you take Aaron up, you strip him of his clothes, you give him the priesthood, you give him to Eleazar, his son, put upon him, and then Aaron died. Someone said, well, Moses didn't die because we sent him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, the Bible says here that he did. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7, and Moses was 120 years old, and he died. But here's what really interested me when I was studying that one day. The Bible says he was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim. He didn't need these. Amen. Didn't use two either. But now he's 120. His eye's not dim. Neither were his natural forces abated. Some of you guys is about my age. Brother Sterling, you remember when you was 30 or 40? Yeah. I mean, it's like, ugh. But Moses was 120, and his natural forces, this stuff that keeps my hair never was this color. Some of y'all wasn't either. Maybe some of y'all shouldn't be. But his natural forces wasn't abated. But he died. Listen, God wants to use you in your life that He can be sanctified. He wants to use you. And a lot of people want it to be all about themselves. I'll do this, I'll do that. I remember a neighbor of mine. This guy, I won't mention the guy, but he come into a church in Lebanon and a big church, and a real estate agent sold him the property. Him and his wife, first Sunday, and she calls him up front, and that's always a dangerous thing. And the wife. And they come up front, and she had her real estate commission was $2,000. And she gave that to him. And I mean, the church roared, clapped and roared. My friend said, man, I'm telling you what, she going to get glory in heaven. I said, no, sir, not. She just got it last Sunday. Totally in the scripture. When you give to God, then He gets the glory. When you give to the church, they'll do the thing, and then they'll thank God. And God gets the glory, even in your life. And what? It's not just about the money. Remember an old guy one time, y'all don't know this old boy, he's dead and gone now, Arn and Barry. Brother Sterling, you remember back, you remember this. You remember back years ago, you said, what, you didn't remember this? I'm 66, all right, I'm going to say it. But back when I was a kid, you'd go to a place and have something done, they had counter checks. Well, in our town was First National, Commerce, and the State Bank. That was three banks that had 11. And you'd go get a car worked on or gas or whatever, and they had these counter checks. It wasn't like your personal check, there was counter checks. Does anybody remember that?
Thank you, sister.
We're probably the same. You're probably a little younger than me. Anyway, this old guy, and then FDIC was $10,000. They guaranteed your money for $10,000. This old guy had overalls on, like I love overalls, and I'll get them on as soon as I get home. And Matthew's smiling, yes, sir. And I if I can get them wrinkled and, you know, my all holes, and Kathy says, "You ain't going to town like that." And I said, "I'll just stay here then. Come on, change them." Why? Anyway, well, Arnon looked like that. And he pulls up this gas station and has a flat, and this guy fixes his flat, and he said, Arnon said, "Can I write a check?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Which bank?" And he said, "I don't care, pick one." He had money in all of them, at least 10,000 in two of them. No, Arnon, God put him on my heart. I wasn't even preaching yet. God put him on my heart. You know what the best work that I've ever done, and I hope this sinks into your heart today. The best work that I ever done in my life was when I stopped my stuff and went and did the work of the Lord. You say, "Well, my stuff's important." It sure is. It sure is. But when you put it away, God will really use you. And God dealt with me that day, and to go speak to Arnon, and he wasn't too far from my house. I drove to his house, and his wife said, "He's up there in the metal building, great big, bigger than this church." And had machines in there that had no idea what they were. And I walked in, and I was bold. And I said, "Arnon, God has sent me here today to talk to you." He said, "Oh yeah, young boy, young man. If God sent you here, you find the part that I've been looking for 30 minutes." Well, I knew God sent me. And I said, "Arnon, you care if I pray first?" He said, "Nope, don't care a bit." And as I went down, I can't do that much anymore. I had some knee things done. But as I went down on my knee and my hand hit the concrete, I felt a foreign object. And I finished my prayer, and I don't know exactly what I said, Matthew, but it's like, "God, I don't know if you've ever been between a rock and a hard place, but I'm there." And I stood up at that piece, and I said, "Arnon, is this the piece you're looking for?" And he went, I never won, Arnon. But later he got sick. And he moved to California, and the last word I got was, "Arnon went with his daughter to a little church in California, and he got saved." And Arnon went to church every Sunday, and he was a testimony and a witness. You see, I don't know, I just want to say this. I believe God used me that day to plant some seeds that helped Arnon get saved and go to heaven. And God's looking for a soldier like that now. The last time that the rock is mentioned is in Luke chapter 8, the last mention. And it says, "They on the rock are they which, when they have received the word with joy, and these have no root, because for a while believe." Brother Stern, I've seen that all of my ministry. They receive it with joy for a while, but they have no root. And when in time of temptation, trouble, they fall away. I may be a little quick today, but I need about 5 more minutes. Anybody in the room, give me 5 minutes. I know 5, 10, 50... 20? Thank you. I won't do that. I may. We'll see. My mother died when she was 86 years old. Taught me lots of stuff, brothers. Let me talk to the men just for a minute. I'll just tell you up front, I'm a mama's boy. Any of you guys that's lost your mama, would you like to have a bath just for... yes.
Yes. And she taught me so much. So much. She was so independent that you couldn't do much for her. But she's going to do it herself. I'll do it. I mowed a yard one time and got home. And when she got home, she went straight into the house. And she's already has me, when I do something, she already had me a glass of tea sitting on the table there. And I walked in and no tea. And she's doing something, the cabinets or grocery stuff. And I could tell she was mad. And I'm thinking, hey, I just mowed your yard, you know. And I said, Mom, what? I didn't say no tea there. I said, you got any tea? She said, yeah, I'll get yourself. So then she never talked to me that way. And I got me a glass of tea and sat down. I said, Mom, what's wrong? And she said, I want to mow my own yard. Okay. And she got sick. And I said, one day I seen her yard kind of needing mowed. She had mowed around on it, you know, 30 minutes and then 30 minutes more, a day or two, and she felt like it. And I said, Mom, can I mow your yard? She said, yeah, I don't care if you want to. So I began to, like preaching in this pulpit, joy, see, that I got to mow her yard. I said, you're sick. You want to mow yards? That's my mom, see. Mom taught me so much, and so she got a cancer. It's the same cancer that my sister died at 37. Beautiful, young. Melissa, I'm not flirting with you, but you remind me so much of my sister. You sang that, I thought, gosh, Linda, my sister. Mom got this cancer, and we took her to the doctor, and the doctor said, we can't do anything for you. You're 86. I mean, she was still pretty healthy, but the kind she had, he said, the only thing we can do is get you out of bed, give you a treatment, and take you back and put you back in bed, get you, and he said that, go home and live your life. We said, how long is it? He said, you have about 6 months. So a couple of months went by, and my mom was sitting at the table again one day drinking iced tea. By the way, it's unsweet. I didn't hear an amen in the whole church. You guys from the South. It's sweet, boy. We're sitting there and my mom said, John, what do I do? Oh, Sterling, maybe one of the hardest. I've answered questions. I was her pastor at that time, 20 years. I'd answered a lot of questions. Maybe some hard ones, and tried to biblically answer, and tried to. Mom said, John, what do I do? I sat there a minute, I said, just like the Spirit of the Lord said this. And I said, well, Mom, all I can tell you is, finish well. Now I'm getting somewhere. Because God wants to use you. Maybe in your sickness, maybe in your death. I don't know. That's between you and God. I'd seen my mom get up from Sunday school, and Kathy and I knew. She'd get up from Sunday school and she'd go throw up, wipe her mouth, come back and sit in Sunday school as though nothing ever happened. My nieces, her granddaughters, when she found out she had cancer, came to her and said, oh, granny. She said, girls, it is what it is. It's like she was on a rock. Did you know the rock that followed them, the Bible said here in 1 Corinthians, did you know the Bible said that the rock that followed them, you know who it was? It was Christ. He was just following them. He just with them, following them. At that time, Mom was our treasure. Last Sunday that I preached to her, we got the car and Kathy goes, wow, John, what was that about? I guess the anointing, I don't know. But it was the last message my mom would ever hear in this earth. It was Sunday. Monday morning, she went, got up and drove to town, and I was wondering how I was going to take her keys away. You'd have to know my mom. You ain't taking my keys away. I'm driving. She got up Monday morning, took the church money, and she went to town and deposited it. Tuesday, she had a little doctor's appointment. Wednesday, she had a little procedure, and she died Thursday. I found her Thursday when I got home off the mail route. You know what I told them? The nieces. I said, well, girls, Granny finished well. You see, God wants to sanctify you through Him. He wants you involved in this thing. Now, let me say this nicely. God don't have to have you, but He wants to use you. He wants to use you that He can get sanctified through you, through your life, what you're living. You say, well, you don't know what I'm living. Yeah, and you don't know what I'm living. Had a couple of roughest days I've had in a while last week. Really, preacher? Yeah, really. And the Spirit of God just helped me, sister. And strengthened me. And I'm not saying I'm rough and tough. I'm just saying I got my foot that's on this rock. Rooted. I'm rooted. But what if? Well, what if? What if you die? Woo! Glory! Let it happen. Preacher, you're sick. Yeah, I'm sick. I'm sick for Jesus. I'm not afraid of death or any devil or anything else. Don't think you know He ain't fought me. And don't think you know He won't fight me after this message. Because He will. I got myself on this rock. And I speak to the rock. And He's always there. God wants to sanctify. You say, why do you keep saying that? Well, when I was a young preacher, an old preacher said, if you know they're only going to hear 10% of what you say. You know, I found that to be true. I'd preach a message for an hour before, and somebody come out and they'll say one thing. And they heard the one, you know, and he'll say, they're only going to hear 10% of what you say, so if you want them to hear it, say it at least 10 times. I ain't been counting, but I said it a few times. God wants to be sanctified through your life. And He wants to use you. There's an old saying, the army's looking for a few good men. Well, Jesus is looking for some men and women that He can be sanctified. Hey, if you don't believe we're in the last days, go out the door and shut the door. Look, we're in the last days. Oh, it's going to get better. Well, I'm not a negative guy, but I don't think it will. I think there's going to be some more stuff and some more stuff. And some more stuff and some more stuff. And there'll be so much stuff that a lot of people say, I ain't going to church. No, because you're not rooted. Your foot's not really good on the rock. And God in heaven is trying His best to use the church in this last day. This last day. He's trying to use the church. And the church has turned their back. Fear. And everything, every other excuse. And God's wanting to use you. And I just come to St. Louis to tell you, Festus, to tell you, that God wants to use you in these last days. There's some people in your life. I don't know if you know this or not. You say, you don't even know me. No, but I know this. There's some people in your life that's watching you. And they'll either go to heaven or they'll possibly go to hell. Possibly. Now let me put that word. Possibly because of you. Brother, that's a little strong. Yeah. I know it, but I believe it's the truth. God wants to sanctify Himself through you and use you in these last days. Listen, in the perilous times, did you know this church and every church should be packed out? It's going to take that to get the world saved. Because when they see the church not going to church and scared to death and fearing everything else, this is bad English, but they'll say, I ain't going neither. Why? When the church is scared, why should... You're the example. And it cost Aaron his life, and it cost Moses his life. And Moses didn't get to take the children of Israel into the promised land because of that.